Okay, today what we're going to do, we finished up the topic yesterday of the Islamic personality. And as we finished up that topic, we had a lot of questions here afterwards from people, you know, about different things. And I realized that there's something that a lot of Muslims don't understand. They don't understand the meaning of the Arabic word fitna. And they don't know what fitna is. And I also recognize from yesterday's questions and answers session that many people think that they can move somewhere to avoid fitna. This is impossible. Because you were created to undergo fitna, and the whole earth is a place of fitna. And that's the topic of our lecture for today and tomorrow. We're going to talk about life is a fitna. It's a fitna. For anybody who thinks that you can move someplace on this planet and never incur fitna, you're living in a bubble or a shell. Okay? So we're going to start that topic today. First of all, I want to also refer you to a surah of the Quran. The surah of the Quran which addresses fitna is Surah Al-Ankabut. That surah addresses fitna. And that's the dalil for everything that you're going to learn from me today and tomorrow is from that surah. Okay? So we need to be aware of that. Okay, so we're going to start the topic now. And remember, the central theme of this will be Surah Al-Ankabut, which addresses fitna. And for those of you who don't know the meaning of the word fitna, it's an Arabic word that refers to trials and tribulations. Life is a trial, a test. That's what the meaning of the word fitna. It doesn't mean zina or sex or men, being around men. It doesn't mean being oppressed and all that. It refers to tests and tribulation, trials and errors. That's what life is. Life is one big test after another. The believer is constantly tested from the time he is brought into this world until the time he departs it. He is tested. Nobody was created to sit here and never in their life endure any test. Okay? Now, if you read this surah of the Quran, it starts off, Allah says in the interpretation, the meaning, Alif Lam Mim, do people then think they will be left alone just because they say we believe in Allah? Do they think that they will not be faced with fitna? And verily, we put those who came before them to trials, so that Allah would make known those who have been truthful, and so that Allah would have made known the liars. That's the first through third verses of that beautiful surah. So as you can see, this surah of the Quran starts off by talking about fitna. So the person may then ask, okay, well, I understand what fitna means. Fitna refers to trials and tribulations. So what kinds of fitna are people tested with? Well, the answer is many, guys. A man may be put to test due to his intelligence, his knowledge. Or a man can be put to test by the dunya. A person can be tested by his parents or his family. He can be put to test by living a long life. So his fitna, his test could also be that he never faced any hardships at all. So the reality is, everyone, that a person may be tested by a variety of different trials. So that's what I'm saying. If you think that you can escape fitna by moving from one part of earth to another, You need to wake up and understand the meaning of the term. Because fitna comes in a variety of different, there's a variety of different types of trials and tests. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next 2 days. We're going to talk about some of the common tests that we have to endure as human beings. We also have to recognize and understand, like I was trying to explain yesterday, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has said, O Muhammad, verily, I have only sent you to put you to trial and to put others to trial by way of you. So here you can see, guys, Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was put here to endure trial and to put others through trial too. So we have to face the reality, guys. Life is one big fitna. You cannot escape it. You can't run away from it. It don't matter if you live in Saudi Arabia, there's a lot of fitna there. It don't matter if you live in America, there's a lot of fitna there. It don't matter if you live on the moon, there's going to be fitna there too. It don't matter if you live in the bottom of the ocean, you got fitna there too. Life is nothing but one big fitna. And we have to remember that. For Allah tells us, and we shall test you with trials of good and evil. And to us will you return. And that's the Surah Al-Anbiya, which is the 21st Surah of the Quran, the 35th Ayah. Okay, so I want everybody here to understand this because this really bothered me. I could not even sleep last night thinking about how Muslims can actually think that they can move someplace and not be tested. It doesn't make sense. So we need to go over this. Everybody here needs to understand that life is a fitna. And fitna comes in different types. Okay? And we're going to talk about one of the most popular kinds of tests and trials that we have to endure. And the first one is the fitna of dealing with disbelieving parents. This is a fitna. This is a test. This is a trial. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, and we have commanded the people to be good to their parents. But if they strive to make you join partners with me, those that you have no knowledge of, then do not obey them. To me is your return. That's still the 29th surah of the Quran, the 7th verse. So here we can see that one type of fitna that many of us are going through is dealing with our disbelieving parents. And this verse of the Quran was revealed in response to one of the Sahabi. His name was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. His mother tried to turn him back to disbelief. And even in that situation, Allah revealed these verses telling him, do not obey her, but still you have to be kind to her. And this is where the test comes in, which many of you can relate to. Many of you have non-Muslim parents who you love, and they love you, but they don't like your religion. They don't understand your way of life, so they are constantly trying to get you to denounce your religion, your way of life, and come back to being a Christian or a Buddhist or whatever it was that you were. This is a fitna. It's a test. Because it's very hard to be nice and kind to someone who is trying to tell you to disobey Allah. Yet many of us have to go through this. And we have to remember, guys, it doesn't matter what your parents say or do to you, you still have to remain kind to them. You just don't obey them. If they tell you to denounce your religion, you don't curse them out. You tell them in a nice, polite manner, no, I can't do that. If they talk about your religion when you come around and put you down, you tell them in a nice, respectable way, mother, listen, unless you stop putting down my way of life, I will stop coming over here to visit you. Okay? So we have to understand this is a big fitna that many people here have to endure every day. The fitna of dealing with unbelieving parents. And how can you run away from that? Okay? Hold on one second. Okay, the next fitna that many people have to endure is the fitna of being in the minority. And this is something that people may have to deal with living here in America or Canada or the United Kingdom or Australia. Being a minority. And this is what we were talking about yesterday. Some people are having a hard time being a minority. Minority not meaning black or white. Minority meaning you're Muslim. You're amongst a bunch of non-believers, and you're the only believer. This is a fitna that many people have to endure, and unfortunately, very few Muslims pass this test. Many of the Muslims end up giving in and succumbing to the kuffar, which is what we talked about yesterday, which we should not be doing. And I gave examples. There's nothing in Islam that prohibits a woman from working, but if that job compromises your religion, jeopardizes your deen, then you don't work, you don't do it. If you feel that you have to go out and get a job to take care of your children because you don't have a man or whatever your problem is, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you seek a job that is not a job that conflicts with your teachings of Islam. And one of the teachings is there is no intermingling. No Muslim woman should be working a job with men. And don't tell me you can't find a job that doesn't have me on it, because I'm living proof that you can. Okay? You wouldn't take a job that involves you committing something haram, such as selling pork, dealing in interest, prostitution, selling drugs, going out encouraging people to commit sin, encouraging people to commit adultery, fornication, etc. You can't get jobs doing this. So if the job involves you doing something that's going to compromise your religion and your deen, you don't work doing that. You find something else to do. And if you can't find a job at all, then you go out and get married. Go find you a good man who can take care of you. Go find you a good believing man who will work 2, 3, 4 jobs if he got to, so you can stay home and be a believing Muslim woman. That's what Islam tells us to do, guys. And that hurts a lot of women. They hate for me to say that. I don't know why. I'm speaking the truth. Unfortunately, the truth hurts some people. But if you can't handle the truth now, how are you going to handle on the day of judgment when you have to stand before Allah? And Allah asks you, why did you disobey Him by working a job, doing something that you knew you had no business doing? You tell him, oh, because I had to take care of my children. Allah ain't going to listen to that. He's going to say, didn't you have a husband? By the way, most of these women got husbands. You'll say, yes. Then what do you mean you had to take care of your children? It's your husband's job to get out and work. Why didn't you make him go get 2-3 jobs? Okay? So this is the fitna that many of us fall into every day. We cannot deal with the fitna of being in the minority. We end up giving in to the ways of the kuffar. We end up making excuses to disobey Allah. I got some Muslim women, guys, who don't even wear hijab. They go to work and take their hijabs off. And they put on short dresses with their legs out and high-heeled shoes. And they fix their hair up and put on makeup and sit there as a receptionist. And they claim they have to do this to work. You can find a job that doesn't involve you showing your body. What kind of craziness is this? So again, we have to stop looking for excuses to disobey Allah. And again, this is the number one fitna that the average Muslim can't deal with, because in order to deal with being in a minority, you have to be a believing Muslim. And again, very few of us have reached the status of being called a believing Muslim. Okay? The next fitna that people encounter daily is the fitna of seeing the enjoyment of the disbelievers. And we get a lot of this too. And Allah talks about this type of fitna in this surah, the Quran too. A man sees the enemies of Allah living long, secure lives. He sees that they live long lives on earth, enjoying their strength and oppressing others. And they are the enemies of Allah. We get a lot of women who come through this website who say, why is it? Why is it, Sister Layla, that I became Muslim? But I'm going through more misery than any of my Kafir friends. My Kafir friend, she just got married. She got a brand new car, brand new house, brand new kids. I'm sitting here miserable, struggling to make ends meet. This is a fitna. Life is a fitna. We have to understand, guys, the disbelievers may seem like they have it all. They may have everything in this life, but they don't get nothing in the hereafter. Do you want to be like them? Do you want to be a person that Allah gives you everything you want in this world? And then when you stand before Him on Day of Judgment, you end up empty-handed with nothing? Do you want to be like that? We need to remind ourselves, guys, that this is just a fitna. You don't sit back watching the enjoyment of the disbelievers, thinking that they got it better than you. Because in reality, they don't. The believing Muslim knows and he understands that he is living the life of this world only temporarily. And he was put here to accumulate as many good deeds as possible, so he can stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment and have a lot of good deeds to his record and be given the final reward of paradise. That's what the believer knows. And that's what the believer understands. And Allah gives us the story of Prophet Noah to reflect on in this. Remember, Allah sent Noah to his people. And Noah, alayhi salam, stayed amongst them, calling them to Allah for over 1,000 years. But very few of those people embraced Islam. Most of those people Allah had to destroy with the flood. So just imagine him. He was the first messenger sent to the people. And he was here amongst them for over 1,000 years, calling them to Allah. And only 13 people took heed to what he had to say. And the rest had to be destroyed and wiped out with the flood. So this is a test that we have to endure, guys, watching the disbelievers. And you need to remind yourself that although it may look like they have it all going on, in reality, they have nothing. They have nothing but a life of joy now and a future filled with nothing but pain and sorrow. Another type of fitna that we have to deal with a lot as believing Muslims is the fitna of argumentation. The fitna of opponents dealing with people who want to argue and fight against you. People who do not believe in your way of life, who don't like your way of life, but instead they sit around plotting and planning against you. This is a test. And this is the test that Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, had to endure. Very few people have patience to deal with the truth and remain upon it without becoming affected by the fitna of argumentation. The truth hurts a lot of people, as many of you see here every day at this website. A lot of people come here and ask questions about Islam. They don't really want to know the truth. They're fatwa shopping. That's what they're doing. So they figure, okay, let me go to that website. It's just like those other chat rooms on the internet. I can find somebody that will hopefully give me the answer I want. So they'll come here and ask some off-the-wall question. And then they get their feelings hurt because we don't sit here and lie and make up answers. We tell them the truth. And the truth actually hurts. A woman gets hurt because we tell her the truth, that her husband is a homosexual. If your husband continues to do what Allah has forbidden, he's a homosexual. So she claimed her feelings hurt. I don't care. You know, they're going to be hurt even more on the day of judgment when Allah throw you and your husband in hell because the prophet said your husband's a kafir. I'm being nice by saying he's a homosexual. Okay? So we need to re-understand, guys, this is another fitna that we have to endure, the fitna of argumentation. A lot of people cannot stand to hear the truth. They can't handle the truth. They don't want to deal with the truth. So they will come and try to argue. That's the fitna I deal with every day. Every day I have to deal with that fitna. And that's why my blood pressure is up so high. I got to get it down because of the fitna of argumentation. We need to learn how to stay away from this, guys. And again, it doesn't matter where you move to. You can move to Saudi Arabia. There's a bunch of hypocrites sitting right over there in Saudi Arabia. Hello, look what the country's run by. SubhanAllah, you think you can move to Saudi Arabia and avoid fitna? Do you think that you won't end up getting into an argument with somebody over there? Or being tested with something over there? You better wake up and smell the coffee. There is no perfect utopia nowhere on this planet Earth. Nowhere. And fitna is everywhere. If fitna was only here in America, then this is the place to be. Because remember, the believers are constantly tested. Why would you want to go somewhere where you ain't tested? Because if you ain't tested, then hey, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Because Allah only sends tests to the believers whom He loves. So if you think there is some place to move to where you won't be tested, I'd stay away from it if I were you. So that's another fitna that we have to deal with, guys. The fitna of argumentation. Few people have the patience to deal with truth. Few people have the tolerance to remain upon it without becoming affected by what other people have to say. And that takes us to the next fitna that many of us have to deal with. The fitna of passions and desires. Now, this is the fitna that you can't escape. I don't care if you buried yourself in a hole. You cannot escape the fitna of your passion and your desires. We need to understand that it is the fitna of the desires that make men go against their very nature. And this takes us to the story of Prophet Lot. Lot. Allah said to the people of Prophet Lot, you are practicing all kinds of evil in your gatherings. He ordered them to stop it, but they didn't. They practiced sodomy. They were homosexuals. And this is one of the worst sins you can do. And this became a great test for Prophet Lot and with his wife, because his own wife was involved in this fitna. His own wife was taken up with this evil homosexual practice. So what Allah did was he destroyed all of those people, the entire people, including Prophet Lot's wife. So this is one of the greatest fitnas that we have to fight against that many of us cannot deal with, which is the fitna of passion and desires. Look how many of us end up giving in to our desires and carrying on affairs on the internet with men when we know it's haram. Look how many of us give in to our desires and sit around emailing and private chatting with men without our wali being present and without his knowledge. That's giving in to the fitna of desire. Look how many of us go even further by committing zina, outright committing zina. That's fitna of the desires. Or look how many of us are married and we know our husband is wrong for what he wants to do to us, but we love him so much that we let him violate Allah's most sacred law with us. That's fitna of the desires. And you can't escape this. I don't care if you live on the moon. The fitna of passions and desires will always hit us as humans. So thus, guys, these are just a few of the different types of fitna that we have to endure. And again, I want you to understand the meaning of these Arabic words. Don't sit around using Arabic words and you don't understand the meaning of them. Because you're not impressing anyone. You're making yourself look really silly. Fitna means test and trial. Test and trial. And you need to remember that you were created to be tested over and over and over again. So anyone who thinks they can move away and avoid fitna completely is a person who has no understanding of this religion. We need to get back, guys, to the basics of this religion and learn how to develop the character of a believer and better ourselves and fight against the shaitan. Okay, I'm going to stop right here for today, and then tomorrow we're going to talk about the next half of fitna. There's other different types of fitna. We're going to talk about them again. Again, remember the Arabic word fitna means test and trial. You hear me say all the time, I'm tired of the fitna. Don't come to this website bringing that fitna. When I'm saying that, what I mean is don't come to this website bringing test and trial upon me and the other people here. Don't come here testing our patience. Don't come here testing our knowledge. Don't come here sending us through trials. That's what I mean when I use that term. That's the meaning of the term fitna. Okay? So I'm going to stop right here for today. And if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.